The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, today's guest I'm really excited about. This is a gentleman who whose book is listed on the Old Dogs REI Network Top 20 Recommended Real Estate Investing Books. The book is called How to Make Big Money in Small Apartments. Some of you already know who that person is already. Well, if you haven't guessed it, it's Lance Edwards, who's the author of that best-selling book, How to Make Money in Small Apartments. This book has been a real important vehicle for me in getting started, especially as I've moved into multifamily, and I think it's going to be a valuable resource for you. But let me tell you a little bit about him first. His company, First Cornerstone Group LLC, is a real estate education and marketing company, which enables both new and experienced real estate investors to accelerate their path to financial independence through small apartment investing. And that's by using other people's money. The Houston Business Journal recognized Lance's company as the 13th fastest growing private company in Houston, Texas. Since 2007, he also taught and mentored thousands of investors nationwide on how to get started in small apartment investing. And we're talking 2 to 30 units when we talk about small apartments. Using none of their own money, cash or credit, with no prior experience. So Lance teaches investors to start small and then scale up to mid-size and large apartments. Whether wholesaling or buying, his student success stories are those of everyday people, mostly beginners, whose very first real estate deal was a small apartment building. Well, Lance, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Well, Bill, thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be amongst other old dogs. I'm one of us. And thank you so much for inviting me today.
Well, as you know, us old dogs travel in packs. So this is a good place to be for us right now. Well, I am so excited to have you on. You know, you have just amazing resources and a lot of great information for those of us who are in this later season in our lives. you know, we don't have a lot of time to kind of start out maybe buying a single family a year or, you know, building up slowly as real estate investors. And I think the idea of starting with small apartments is really, really applicable to this group. So I want to hear about all about that and how people can do this. But I also think it's important for people to find out about you and your background. Could you just kind of tell us how you got started in real estate investing?
Yeah, sure, Bill. I mean, if you go back 2001, 2002, I had a young family, a full-time corporate job, working 60 hours per week. A lot of people, I imagine, can relate to this. And I was looking for another source of income for my young family. And I discovered way back then real estate investing. And the very first training I ever took on real estate was, of course, how to buy houses, nothing down. But I was very blessed in that very first training because the instructor said this to me. He said, you know, Lance, I made a lot of money doing houses, but I came to realize that to meet my financial goals, I needed to shift to multifamily. Multifamily provided bigger numbers in a shorter time period. And, you know, Bill, it made all the sense in the world to me. So when I came out of this training on houses, I came out looking to get started in small apartments. And the very first real estate deal I ever did, I bought a fourplex. And I bought it nothing down, had 100% seller financing. It was my very first deal. And I will tell you, for anyone that's yet to do your first deal, or anybody, if you've done your first deal, you probably will agree with me. The most critical deal in your real estate journey is going to be your first one. It is also going to be the scariest one because, you know, after all, we were not taught this stuff in school. And so I was scared to death the whole time doing the first deal. But once I had that critical first deal under my belt, it became like a launching pad for my real estate business. Because over the next 2.5 years, on a part-time basis, I bought 50 nothing down deals. I did fourplexes, then I did 10 units, 50, 56, 85 unit projects, always using OPM or other people's money, because that's what I've been taught to do. Within 3 years of my start in small apartments, I was able to retire from a 20-year corporate career and to go out and just do real estate on a full-time basis. That was pushing up 2005. A couple years into that, I got approached by some colleagues at my real estate club in Houston, where I live. And they said, Lance, we see you doing these apartment deals. Can you come teach us how you're doing these apartments using none of your own cash and none of your own credit? So I had my very first seminar back, Bill, it was in July of 2007. That launched the training side of my business. So many people are familiar with me these days from either one of two areas. Either they know me from the training side of my business, where I've taught tens of thousands of people, or they know me from the transaction side of my business because we're very active doing apartment deals all over the country. But what keeps me going these days is I have two passions. One is I love empowering people, especially old dogs like us, how to change their financial trajectory in a very short period of time through small apartments. So I love training. And the second passion I have is in deal making, where we're actually doing deals with students. And so that's what keeps me going. And I think, you know, small apartments, obviously I'm biased, is the way to go.
I got to agree with you. I think it's the best way to start. You know, you look at economies of scale. It was the first thing I saw was buying my first duplex when I paid about the same amount for a duplex that I did for a single family home, yet I was making twice as much income. And I only had, you know, one property tax payment, you know, I had one insurance payment as opposed to, you know, two that I would have for if I owned two homes. So, I mean, you see that really early on, as I'm sure you did with your fourplex when you first bought it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's all about the economies of scale. If you think about it this way, you know, apartments are designed and constructed as cash flow instruments. Houses are not. Houses are really created to be bought and sold by homeowners. But if you look at an apartment building, it has one roof. It's a shared roof, has shared walls, one foundation. And the dollars per door at an apartment building is going to always surpass a single family. And so the way I would put it to people, would you rather go out and buy one 6-unit apartment building or go out and buy 6 houses. You got to do 6 transactions, six, you know, and you just start breaking it down. No, the economy of scale is just, let's do one six-door rather than 6 single families. It's all the economies of scale. These things are made to generate cash flow.
Now, you were in this corporate job. What was the first sort of clue that attracted you to real estate? I mean, you could have gone in a lot of different directions, I'm sure, but do you remember? I mean, was it, you know, some late night show? You know, a lot of people say, yeah, I was up late watching and there was a you know, infomercial or something. Do you know what actually triggered that first?
Yeah, Bill, it was totally by accident. I mean, it was totally random fate. My family and I were on vacation, summer vacation, and I was, you know, it running through my mind, I need to find some extra income. And so we were out on a beach vacation, and actually in Hawaii, and I was walking through a bookstore just looking for a book to read on the beach, just to bide my time. Well, laying on the floor of the bookstore was a book on real estate investing. And so fate had it, you know, I picked it up. This looks interesting. And I bought the book, ended up consuming it on the beach, and literally got launched off that book, which I found on the floor of a bookstore, totally by accident.
Do you remember the book?
Multiple Streams of Income by Robert Allen.
Oh, sure. Remember that. Yeah.
Streams of Income.
Oh, man. Well, you know, that it's funny because we come into all different ways. You know, you hear people, they read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or something that kind of leads them in that direction. But it sounds like you didn't slow down. Once you got started, you went full speed ahead, which is pretty interesting considering you're working full time when you first started.
Well, the thing about it is I'm like, you know, and now that I've taught so many people over the years, you know, the main thing that holds people back from doing this is not, you know, you can get the book, you can read the book, you can understand the book, intellectually understand it. What holds us all back is fear. You know, and fear means like fear of making a mistake. In my case, it was fear of embarrassment, fear of getting on the phone and talking to a seller and then maybe realizing I'm new to this and I really don't know what I'm doing. What if they asked me a question I couldn't answer? That was a big fear factor playing out in my head. I later learned, and frankly, I'll tell you, everyone listening, it took me a year to work my way through that. I mean, a year. But I will tell everyone, and this is what I teach and I really share with everyone, just realize all that is, it's just junk in our head. Because like I said a moment ago, we were not taught this stuff in school. And so we're going out trying to start these new things. We got this little voice was trying to hold us back. It's all just junk. You got to learn to go beyond the little voice and just take that next step. Really, if there's a secret, it's that. Take the next step.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because your initial focus was finding a no money down deal. So you have to talk to a lot of sellers, I imagine, before you find that one that's willing to work with you on that, I would imagine.
Well that's right. That's right. And I will tell you this, this my first market, you know, after a year, once I finally got up, quote, the courage to do my first marketing campaign, I did a direct mail campaign and I sent out a measly 50 letters, and out of these 50 letters, I ended up getting, you know, a 30% response. I had 15 people call me. Now, I say this is an aligning of the planets kind of thing going on, so everyone bear with me. But out of those 15 people, I ended up buying 23 properties.
What?
23 properties.
I thought you could say out of 15, I got one, you know.
No, 23 properties. Every one of them was with owner financing. Now, this was, I will tell again, everyone, this was a real alignment of the planets. But that is how I literally got my start. And I share that story because, you know, the defining moment for me is my very first marketing campaign. I had 50 letters standing over a mailbox slot, knees are shaking because, you know, if I mail these letters, that means, you know, I might have to actually talk to somebody. And yet I sent those 50 letters out and that's how I got my start. But, to your point, Bill, you know, you gotta do your phone work. You gotta talk to some people. You gotta kiss some frogs.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine that would be, that working through that process has got to be a task in itself. Just again, getting comfortable enough that, yeah, and I think everybody can relate to what you said, you know, especially if somebody asks you questions that you don't know an answer to, you know, and you're supposed to be an investor, you know, or somebody that, that can do this transaction without any problems, right?
That's exactly right. So here's the way I compensated, and I think it's this, a lot of people can relate to this. So my biggest fear getting started was the fear that I would get on the phone and a seller would ask me a question I couldn't answer, and that would just be totally embarrassing. So for the next 12 months, the way my little voice in my head compensated is I went and got more training, went to more seminars, bought more home study courses. You know, I got home study courses stacked up to the ceiling from those days. That was all just a crutch to try to compensate for this seeming fear I had in my mind. And once I did that very letter campaign, and once I talked to my very first seller and came to realize that really they're normal everyday people, and especially on small apartments, you're talking about mom and pop owners, just individuals. Nobody asked me any embarrassing questions. If anybody asked me a question I didn't know the answer to, I simply said, well, you know, tell you the truth, I don't know. I'm happy to find out. And my whole mindset shifted to come to realize this is not rocket science. It's really just working with everyday people, trying to figure out if they want to sell your property and if you want to buy it. And it's really working through that fear is, I would say, the main thing holding people back and getting started in small apartments.
That's great. Well, looking at it from an investor standpoint, okay, you were and are an investor, but looking at all the things that you've done, what would you say? And again, the word, let's say, mistake is kind of misconstrued to me. I consider it a lesson learned. But looking at sort of the biggest lesson learned that happened to be a mistake, okay, what really, you know, or especially early on, was something that you learned from and it really has helped you later down the road?
You know, that's a great question. And I share that same sentiment. I kind of taught myself years ago, I will tell people, I've never made a mistake. Never made a mistake. Now, I've had some expensive lessons along the way. and the distinction being, you know, I believe that everything happens for a reason and it serves us. And that belief system, that mindset has served me, because when things don't go the way I want, and it can be very painful, it didn't go the way I wanted, if I adopt the belief that everything happens for a reason and it'll serve me, then my brain will search for a way that this experience is going to benefit me. And undoubtedly, it always eventually finds the way that will serve me, no matter how painful it was at the moment. So let me give you an example of that. So way back early on, when I was brand new, I felt like I needed somebody to take me under their wing. So I had a partnership and had an experienced partner. Come on, young fellow, take you under our wing. Well, that partnership is like, it was like a bad marriage. It just didn't work out. And with many partnerships, that's the case. But it didn't work out. It was a very painful lesson for me, but what I did learn out of that experience is that I don't need any partners. You know, all the reasons I thought I needed a partner turned out to be false, and that actually benefited me because it taught me to rely upon my own instincts, my own thought processes, my own decisions, and literally I can attest to that as really probably a springboard to me and my real estate business.
That's great. I think there's a lot of folks that feel they need a partner because they lack certain skills. But as you get going and ramping up, you can always hire those people, whether it's a part-time or a contract person or what have you, that have those skills that you may lack. So I'm sure you've got quite a team there now that has all and then some in terms of, you know, talents and skills to bring to the charge there.
I mean, yeah, today I've got, you know, I'm speaking to you in my office, right outside my office here in Houston. I've got an entire team that are on the phone right now, you know, talking to sellers and buyers all over the country on doing transactions. So we've had it, I got the process automated and systematized. But I would say, you know, for anyone getting started, part of the, you know, if I talk to mindset again, part of the entrepreneurial mindset that I learned along the way is, You don't need to have all the answers to get started. You just got to get started. But you just need to have the confidence that whatever I need to figure out along the way, I'll figure out. And whatever resource that I need along the way, I'll get the resource. I'll figure it out. Because as entrepreneurs, you know, let me contrast this to my 20 years as an employee. My conditioning as an employee for 20 years is, here's your job, here's the rules, by God, stay inside the rules or you're fired. And don't make a mistake. You know, don't make a mistake. And I step out as an entrepreneur, hey, there are no rules. I mean, there's laws, obviously we got to stay inside the law, but there's no rules. We got the responsibility and the opportunity to create whatever we want to create. And we, as long as we have the vision and the clarity of vision, we'll attract all the resources we need. And so, you know, I get very passionate about this whole venture because I believe it's, you know, this the real estate is, you know, for me, it's a journey and just constantly growing and growing and learning to move beyond the employee mindset into moving into, let's do it. Let's set a very, very big vision and then we'll attract whatever we need to get the job done.
That's great. Great outlook. Looking at the other side, as an investor, what would you say your biggest success was?
You know, I would say I can point to a lot of things. I could say certainly us being the company being recognized by, you know, Houston Business Journal is one of the fastest growing in the city of Houston, and then Inc. Magazine recognizes multiple years now as one of the fastest growing private companies in the nation. Certainly, you know, big achievements. From a real estate, and so that's from a business standpoint. From a real estate standpoint, I would probably hold up the largest transaction we've done. We wholesaled, we flipped an $11 million apartment complex here in Houston, and that one was a lot of fun. And so I like to hold that one up, and because it, you know, but it for me it started with a fourplex, and then we just scaled up to then apply the same process to doing a fourplex to basically a 300-unit apartment complex.
Well, and that's something that's unique in your teaching as well, which I think is something that people don't think of. But people can flip apartments just like they can single-family homes, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, and of all sizes, small, mid-size, or large. So for anyone, if you're familiar, maybe if you're not, let me do a quick definition. We talk about flipping. Our definition of flipping is, I want to buy an apartment building. I put a contract to purchase. Let's just stick with a fourplex. I put a contract to buy a fourplex in place, and it says the buyer on the contract is Lance Edwards, comma, Aura Signs. Now, those two words, Aura Signs, gives me the right to assign my contract to an end buyer who's going to pay me for that contract. So I'm assigning the contract. We call it flipping the paper. I never take title to the property. I never put up any money in the transaction. I'm going to flip my paper, flip my contract to that end buyer. And so flipping, the process for doing it for apartments is very similar to that for houses. If you're familiar with houses, with one distinct advantage, I don't need to see the building. We flip buildings all over the country, sight unseen, with buyers sight unseen, and you know, here's a deal this is kind of an interesting one. We flipped two duplexes in Indiana that we put under contract sight unseen to a buyer out of Switzerland who found it over the internet. So that, you know, when that happens, you kind of realize this is a pretty cool gig. And so that's what we do on a daily basis here in the office.
That's, you know, I think that's something, yeah, a lot of folks could really learn from. I like that idea. As you're looking, many of us define our criteria, what type of property we'd like to own, you know, for the short or long term. And you'll come across a lot of different things. And there may be some out there that you go, gee, you know, this is an interesting property, but what do I really want to invest in it and rehab it and do all of those things? That's the sort of big difference I see right between flipping houses and apartments is that, you know, when you flip a house, you've got to pour money into it. You've got to do, you know, come up with an estimated, you know, value after you repair it. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that in dealing with contractors and so forth. But with this, you know, you may come across an apartment that you're, you know, as you're scouting around and you're doing your direct mail or what have you, that you know, something, gee, this could be a good deal. You know, I could flip this and maybe make a quick 25, you know, 50, 100 grand. And all you have to do is, like you said, get the contract and find a buyer on the other end. I think it's a great way to raise cash to be able to buy what you really do want to eventually own. So that's a great approach.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, especially for old dogs like me that are listening, because there's a strategy I'll share with you right now, Bill. You know, the number one question I get from people is, how can I replace my job income and quickly, right? How can I replace my job income? I'm going to give you the single strategy to do it. It's very simple. It's this: flip one, hold one. Which, what I mean is, as you're creating deal flow of apartment deals or coming across your desk, you're going to flip the ones that you don't want to hang on to. Maybe they're too big, they're too small, they're too ugly, they need too much work, but you flip them. And you're making, you know, each one you should expect to make between $10,000 and $50,000 per flip. These are small apartments. And then along the way and that pays today's bills. Along the way, you cherry pick the buildings that you want to hang on to, that you're going to buy and hold for your passive income, for that mailbox money. And, you know, you want to accumulate enough doors until your mailbox money is enough to where you can decide, I don't want to do flipping anymore. But flip one, hold one. I mean, you can replace your job income in a matter of months through flipping, and then take just a matter of a couple, 3 years to have enough doors where you could decide you want to retire.
That's a great approach. I really like that. Well, looking at our audience, and you know, maybe I'll even give it, you know, an example that there's a guy, he's newly retired. He just retired. He's got a little nest egg, but he's really not sure it's going to be able to provide what he needs during the length of his retirement. You know, people are living longer. There's medical needs. There's so many things that we have to consider. And what would you say to that guy? He wants to know he's going to have a good, strong, steady cash flow. What approach should he take? I mean, how would he get started?
My default answer is going to be the strategy I just shared. Flip one, hold one. So because flipping generates chunks of cash to pay today's bills or to pay down debt or to accumulate a nest egg, you know, I haven't seen anybody yet turn down chunks of cash. So that's what flipping is all about. And the way to get started in this business, as in any business, you got to get marketing. You got to get the phone ringing. You know, I have a saying, if the phone's not ringing, we don't have a business, we have a hobby. So you've got to get your marketing started to create deal flow. And it's always going to begin there because, you know, from the deal flow, we then can make decisions. Am I going to flip this one or am I going to hold this one? But it all begins with creating that deal flow.
What do you recommend? I mean, it sounds like direct mail is your main marketing force. Is that correct?
Yes. And there's three primary methods that I teach, Bill. It's websites, number one, number two, brokers, and number three, direct mail. And let me give a little bit of, you know, antidote behind this. So websites, these are websites like loopnet.com, even the MLS. People don't realize, people think of MLS, the multiple listing service, as they think it's exclusively houses. Well, it's primarily houses, but you don't realize, most people don't realize, and I didn't for the longest time, you find lots of small apartments that are listed for sale on MLS. You don't find them on LoopNet. There's no shortage of websites. So that's one source of deal flow. The second source is brokers. The thing about brokers, when brokers get a good listing or a new property for sale, the first thing that they don't do is they don't put their best new deals up on LoopNet. They actually save those, what they call their pocket listings, and the broker is going to hand out his pocket listings to his people who he has a relationship with. So you want to develop relationships with commercial brokers or even residential realtors who will feed you the pocket listings when those deals comes in. That's just phone work. And then the third source of deal flow, as you mentioned and I alluded to, is direct mail. Direct mail is my favorite by far. I consider it my secret weapon. when it comes to deal flow, because there's, you know, look at some of the advantages of direct mail. Number one, it puts me in direct contact with the owner of that apartment building. And 95% of the time, that owner has not listed their property for sale. They've been thinking about selling it, but they haven't done anything about it. And my direct mail piece lands, you know, in their mailbox, and I get the call first. So there's no competition. And the real great benefit about direct mail is that I'm talking straight to the seller. So I'm in a position to negotiate seller financing, which means I can buy the property without any bank qualifying, where I can negotiate my own down payment. If there's any down payment, I can negotiate my own interest rate, and I can negotiate my own terms. So, you know, direct mail is number three on the list, but it's number one in terms of, you know, how we focus my business.
And do you have a certain type of direct mail piece that just seems to work the best for you? I know there's postcards, there's all kinds of different approaches.
I've done both. I've done both letters, and I've done postcards. And I tell you right now, what we primarily do now is postcards. And the reason is, from a direct mail standpoint, if you send somebody a letter, well, first of all, they got to open the envelope and, you know, and to even read your letter. So there's always this issue about how do I get that envelope past their trash can, you know, when they're sorting their mail, as opposed to a postcard. There's the message right there on the postcard. You can't miss it. And so we do primarily postcards, but I tell you the truth, I'm constantly experimenting. Oh, you know, this is marketing, just trying different means all the time. But right now it's primarily postcards.
Oh, sure. Does it matter if it's four color or one color or anything on the postcard?
We use canary yellow, mm-hmm. Black font on canary yellow. It really just, it's an ugly postcard, to tell you the truth. It just
stands out.
It stands out.
Right.
It stands out.
That's great. You've built an amazing organization here, and there are many facets of it. I really like is the fact that you also help out other, you know, your investors and people that are in your training by even providing them leads, right? I mean, you actually have a website that you list a lot of these properties that are small apartments around the country, right?
Well, that's correct. I mean, we do one of the things as my training business has evolved over the years, you know, it really evolved. Certainly we have the core training, but it evolved into how assisting people in running their business, whether it means we have done for you services where we'll actually send out postcards for our clients. And when those sellers come in, we actually have my phone team is outside my door here in Houston. They'll qualify those leads coming in. So, you know, a lot of done for you services just so we can queue up the absolute most best qualified deals that our clients then work with. So that's on the done for you side. And then as you're alluding to, the real done for you is I've got a website, smallapartmentdeals.com, where we've already negotiated with the seller. Many times it already has seller financing built in, and those properties are being sold on my website. So you can just go to the website at smallapartmentdeals.com and find, they're all literally all over the country, and find one that's already queued up. And we'll assign you the contract and you can buy it. So, you know, it really has, and it has evolved just so we can be, you know, kind of be the one-stop shop for our client, depending upon what their needs are.
God, that's great. Well, for your business as a whole, where do you see it going, you know, in the next 10, 20 years down the road?
You know, I'm always a tinkerer, entrepreneur. You know, you got 1,000 ideas a day. And for us, it's really, you know, Bill, it's really along the main focus right now of what we're doing is automating the business and allowing it to be outsourced, meaning providing the services that we can provide to our clients so we can generate a high volume of deal flow with minimal effort on their part, where we're handling all the minutia. And what's been really cool, what's changed since the time that I got started way back in 2002, I mean, you know, we take for granted the internet. You remember back in 2002, you know, what internet? You know, what these tools, I mean, we had the internet, but it was nothing like we're doing right now. And what's evolved with the technology is really made it possible to automate this business. The fundamentals of apartments haven't changed for 100 years, but the ability to systematize this business and to automate it so that we can enable our clients on a part-time basis quickly replace their job income because we're handling all the minutiae for them. That's where my mind goes these days and a lot of my focus for the next few years.
Right. Well, that's great. What an invaluable service. I love that. I didn't realize that too, that you actually screen calls for clients and to help find specific properties right there. That's great. Well, our time is like zipped by and it's so frustrating because there's so much more I want to ask you here, but we're just going to have you back, Lance, and maybe we'll focus in on the key area or something, but
I'll be happy to.
Oh man, it's been great. Really great. Well, this is the time where we call it our wrap it up, where I ask you a series of quick questions about favorite resources of yours that you can share with folks and that'll help them in their, especially in their education as they move forward. If you are ready, we'll go ahead and wrap it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. First question, favorite real estate book?
Well, I guess I can't count my own. Is that right,
Bill? Yeah, you know, I can say yours, though. It's one of my top 20 favorites. So,
I'm just kidding. I'll tell you what, you know, I would say anything written by Ron LeGrand, I pay attention to. I think he's the master.
Yeah, he's got some great stuff. How about your favorite just general business book?
You know, I read a lot of books. The one I've most recently read, and I'm reading it over and over, is a book called Scaling Up by Vern Harnish. It's about fast growth organizations. And for anyone that's entrepreneurial looking to scale up their business quickly, I'd really recommend Scaling Up.
That's great. How about most valuable website for success that you use the most in your business?
You know, I'm an old dog, so I would say the Nightingale Conant, you know, website where all the success programs, all the great material they had over the years, just fabulous, fabulous material, fabulous.
Oh, that's great. How about a favorite app? Are you an old dog that uses new technology?
I am. I am because, you know, that's really ingrained in our business now. I'll give you a great app for everyone. It's called Evernote. One word, Evernote. It's free. It's fabulous for maintaining notes, cataloging photos, all kind of activities. I use it constantly. Evernote.
That's neat. And how about favorite quote?
I would say it was the one I said a moment ago. If your phone's not ringing, you don't have a business, you have a hobby.
I like that one. I like that one a lot. That's excellent. Can we attribute that to you?
Fair enough. I'm not sure where I picked it up, but for now, I guess I'll grab it.
That's great. And our final question. Okay, here it is. You built this empire here. Let's say overnight, and it's a horrible thing to say, but you lost everything, absolutely everything. And all you have is $1,000 in cash in your hand. What would you do with that $1,000 to rebuild your real estate empire here?
I'd launch a direct mail campaign to apartment owners. Start all over, bootstrap my way, just like I got started. That's how I got started. I'd do it.
That's great. Maybe they'll send 50 out again, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Maybe send a little more with my $1,000.
Well, postage is a little different now today than they're probably
exactly
first camping.
That's exactly right.
Well, Lance, this has been so great having you on. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening that want to do one of two things. One, you know, find out more about what you do. And also maybe find out a little about this book that you have. And I understand you have a special offer here for our listeners.
I do, Bill, for all the old dogs in celebration of all us old dogs hanging there together. I have a best-selling book, How to Make Big Money in Small Apartments. It sells. It's number one on Amazon, sells every day. So I want to give you the book for free. And so if you'll go to this website and write this down, it's freeapartmentsbook.com, freeapartmentsbook.com. You get the book for free. Just ask you to pay us $6 shipping and handling. I'll send you the book, and there's some additional resource materials, and it explains all about the apartment business. Really, really proud of that book, freeapartmentsbook.com.
Yeah, and that's, I'm going to just going to add a little on to that, that it's not, you know, a lot of times you get these books, especially these ebooks out there, and, you know, they're more just teasers to draw you to somebody's, you know, business and what have you, but you've got real substance in there. I mean, somebody could really read that book and get started. So it's not just a, you know, teaser. This is a real book with real valuable information that you can take home. So I don't want to sound like you're PR guy here, but
no, but thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Bill. I mean, I put a lot of energy went into it. I'm really, really proud of the book.
Yeah, it's great. Well, and what's the best way for folks to reach you?
Okay, so you can go to our website, lanceedwards.com, lanceedwards.com, or if you want to contact our office, you can dial 713-476-0102, 713-476-0102.
Excellent. Well, Lance, this has been fantastic having you on. We thank you. Some great information there. And I love that the fact that you've got that great resource to give people as well as the other resources you shared with us. But you know how we close this show out. So, and I know you've definitely had practice. this one. So, are you ready to close us out with your best old hound dog howl?
I've been practicing, like you said. I've been ready. I'm going to give it a shot here. Make old dogs proud. How about that?
You got it.
All right. Woo, 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 woo! Woo, 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 woo!
Wow. That sounded like a pack of old dogs there. Oh man, that you know, we have a contest once a year. We call it the Golden Howl Awards. You know, I'm going to have to enter that one. I think that
All right.
one could be a strong candidate here. Well, Lance, thank you so much for being on. It was a total joy to have you here.
Well, Bill, my pleasure. I really, really admire what you're doing, and really, really admire your podcast. And thank you so much for his honor to be here today.
Well, great. Gosh, you know, I want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. And please note, everything that Lance talked about today is presented, you know, on our old dogs website show notes, and that's at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. So look at you even got dogs in the neighborhood barking. I hear them out there. So look for the episode with Lance Edwards, and you should be able to get all those links as well as the link to get the free book as well. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king, and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.